apologize. There was some kind of a problem of getting the internet to function. We left off on Daf Nun, Omid Aleph, and Bechoris. The top of the Amud has the Amoraim speaking about the coins that existed in Bavel during their lifetime. It's not too relevant to us. So we'll start from halfway down the Amud. The line begins, Amr Rab Chanina, Kol Kesuv Amud Bator Stam. Oh, we'll skip that too. That's also not too relevant. Amr Rabbi, a few lines later, about 10 lines from the bottom. Amr Rabbi Oshia, Bikshu Ligna is called Kesuv Zob Sheba Oilom. There was a problem at the time of Churban by Ishkeni. The Nochrim stole a lot of money from the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a lot of money floating around all over the world. That was Hekdash. And there's an Issa Me'ila. You're not permitted to be Nana from Amin Hekdash. So the Chachamim were considering to Aser, Ligna is to Aser Bahano, called Kesav Zav Shabbalam, because it's a Tarubis, but Nekaspa Bezav Shal Yerushalayim. There was money in the Beis HaMikdash that was mixed in. The Goy mixed it in with all the regular money. They were going to ask all the money in the world until the Tanoim. This is the time of Chorb Mabais. Achim Matzalom Nikram and Atartile found the Pasuk in Yecheskel Shehu Mutter, that the money is Mutter. Why Shanam, Obo Ba Pritzim V'chil Eluhu. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says, when the Pritzim came in, this famous machlek is the Balamar and the Ramban. This Gemara appears in Avodah Zarah also. Daf Nun Beis on the base. So the Gemara has the same idea there. So the Balamar learns the Pasuk means Pritze Yisrael. They were the Jewish, not the Yevonim, but the Misyavnim, the Jews who were acting like Goyim. when the Jewish Avayonim used the Dvarim Shal Hegdash with Divrechol, the din is that it's Yotze L'chulim. So the Balamor says it's Pritze Yisrael, and it's based on the din, Mishnah is a Me'ila. It says, the Somer is Nefesh Kisim Amal V'chot Tebishkogim Mikotchi Hashem. The Gemara says, "Ein meila l'shini rishus." Shenemar by Isha Saita was mezar and tachas bailo. So the pasuk says, "Amal amal beisha." What does it mean, "Amal amal beisha"? She goes to someone other than her own husband. That's called shini rishus. So here the Torah says, "Nefesh in parshas vayikra." Nefesh ki sima mal b'chot to bishkagam mekatshi Hashem sima mal mishini rishus. When someone is mal behegdish, the hegdish is yotzei l'chul. and the Mishnais explain, and the Mishnais in Me'ila, the Hegdish is it's Yotze L'chulin, it's a din like Pidyon. Hegdish is only Yotze L'chulin if the nature of the Hegdish is such that it lends itself to Pidyon. If the Hegdish does not lend itself to Pidyon, then the din is that it's not Yotze L'chulin. The din usually is, the Gemara quotes as if it's a pasuk. Tosef points out there is no such pasuk. The Gemara took a word from here and a word from there, and they read it as if there's a pasuk. V'nas na'kese v'kamlo. If someone's, let's say, magdish a mansion to hegdish, or someone's magdish an automobile, whatever, karka, metaltalim, whatever, so the gizbo auctions it off to the highest bidder, whoever is prepared to give. So then you have this pasuk that's putting together words from different psukim. You can be paid at the Hegdash. When you give the money to the Gizbar, the Hegdash is Yotzei L'chulin. So usually the Hegdash is Yotzei L'chulin, they paid you when you give the money. And here, by Me'ila B'Hegdash, someone is Nenem and a Hegdash B'Shegik. So the Torah says that he has to pay Kerem Mechaimash. So the fact that he's Mechaif to give the Kerem Mechaimash, even though he didn't give it yet, the fact that it's mukhif to give it, that serves as the pidyon. Usually it's the nasna kesev kamlo. When he gives the money to the gizbar, the hegdish is yotze l'chulin, and if it lends itself to be yotze l'chulin. The Gemara says, behema klisha, the Mishnah says, ein moel ha moel, ela behema u klisharis belvad. Someone is moel behegdish, and then someone else, let's say hegdish has an automobile, someone was magdish an automobile, and the gizbar is auctioning off to the highest bidder. So somebody didn't realize that it's Hegdish, and he's driving the automobile on his own. So the din is that it becomes b'chayiv to pay Karen v'chaymish because he's mal b'hegdish, and hegdish is yotzei l'chulin. Usually the hegdish yotzei l'chulin, when it's not kesev v'kamla, when you give the money. Here the hegdish is yotzei l'chulin because there's a chayiv to give the Karen v'chaymish. So that's what the Baal HaMor says, that the Gemara said the hegdish is only yotzei l'chulin if the fellow is mal b'shoigeh. If it's mal b'mezid, it's not yotzei l'chulin. So now the Gemara says, if the Pritza Yisrael are using the money of Hegdish, they stole all the money from the Beis Hamikdash. They stole fortunes of money from the Beis Hamikdash, and they mixed it in with their own money. So it's a Taruvis, and the Chachamim wanted to prohibit using all of the coins in the world. That's how it starts off. They want to ask all the American bills, all the Canadian dollars, all the British coins, all the Russian coins. So the Gemara asked Akasha, why do they want to ask a kol kesev zov she'ba'olam? The Gemara says, Bikshu lignos hachachamim at the time of Churban HaBayis wanted to ask all the money in the whole wide world because it's a taruvis of hegdish dika money. The Gemara asked over here, why Yerushalayim have rubed the alma? Why the money from Yerushalayim is bitarubis into everybody else's money? They had money, Eretz Zadig, but they didn't have American money, they didn't have Canadian money. How can you ask for all the money in the world? Eli Gemara corrects it. Elam Rabbi, no, the memory wasn't presented properly. Elam Rabbi, the correct version should read as follows, four lines on the bottom of Nun Amar Aleph. Bikshu lignos dinora hadrayana tarayana shayofa. They wanted to ask for certain coins that were common in the days of the Bayis Sheni, because when the Pritzim, after the either Pritzim Yisrael or Pritzim Akum, when the Pritzim stole the money, they mixed it in with their own money. So there's a Tarubis of Hegdish Digger money, Vichulin Digger money, and it's not bottled Beroich. So all the money should be also. It didn't get mixed in with American money, it didn't get mixed in with Canadian money. It's not Shaykh, there wasn't, they didn't exist then. They wanted to ask her that. Why don't you just say the money that's Hegdish is bottled bereif? What, are you concerned that they stole so much money from the Beis HaMikdash? That the roiv of the money is Hegdish, the roiv of the money in the whole wide world is not Hegdish. So let the money be bottled bereif. So apparently my mind is like bottled. That's the Gemara at the end of Beitza. Gemara has a whole discussion there. Gemara says, if I'm holding, I stretch out my hand, and I have five nickels in my hand, then accidentally you drop a nickel into my hand, and we can't identify which are my five nickels and which is your nickel. There are six nickels in my hand now. And now originally only five belonged to me and one belonged to you. So the Gemara says, would you say bitl bereiv? No, iser is bitl bereiv, a tume. If a dove tome gets mixed in, yavish be yavish. A dover tome or a dover ha'aser gets mixed in with dvarim ha'mitarim or dvarim that are tahirim. So then there's a din of bitl b'rei. But mamayin alay batal, mamayin is not batal b'rei. That's how the Gemara explains the Mishnah there. There's a Mishnah in Beitza that says, habeim v'hakelim kiragle ha'bailim. Just like there's a din of tchum Shabbos and tchum yantif, you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. Wherever you are, erev Shabbos bein ha'shmashis, Etchilas Knisses Hayayim, he kind of shvised there, and you're not permitted to go chutz l'tchum. So the Mishnah says, not only are you not allowed to go chutz l'tchum, your property may not be taken out chutz l'tchum either. Let's say there's someone visiting in my village, and he needs a machzor for yontif. Yontif, you're allowed to carry if it's a tzorch hayom tzas. He needs a sefer, so I lend him a machzor, I lend him a gemara, whatever, in the middle of yontif. And he has a different tchum. He doesn't have my tchum. I live in this city. He lives in a nearby city. He has a different tchum. So the Mishnah says he's allowed to take the sefer, but he can't take it out chutz l'tchum sheli, because my property has the same tchum that I have. Abayim v'akelim kirag le'abayim. So there's a din. A person is not allowed to go chutz l'tchum shelo, and no one is allowed to take the property of that person chutz l'tchum of the person. The Behem and the Kalim have the same tchum as the owner. So the Mishnah has a funny case. A woman baked a cake, and she had no ingredients at all. So she took flour from, she borrowed. She borrowed flour from one neighbor, and vanilla flavoring from another neighbor, and whatever cinnamon flavoring for another neighbor, and water from another neighbor, each one sugar for another one. She borrowed different ingredients from all the different people. So then the Mishnah says, and now each one of the people who gave her one of the ingredients has a different tchum. No two people have the same tchum. Usually all the people that live in the same city have the same tchum. But let's say all the five, six people, each one made a neruga tchum to go in a different direction. So each person has a different tchum. So this woman baked a cake, she made a pie, and all the ingredients, each one of the ingredients has a different tchum. So the Mishnah says you're only allowed to carry the pie or the cake in that area where there's overlap. For all the six people who contributed to give all the different ingredients, it's within the tchum of all of them. Because that's the din. Abem v'akelim kerag la'abalim. The property that belongs to someone has the same tchum as the person. Of course, the person may not go chutz l'tchum, that's a double pashut, but you may not carry, even though you're not going chutz l'tchum shalcha, you're not allowed to take the cake out of the tchum that's shared in common by all the people. So the mother there asked the kasha, why don't you say that all the ingredients should be bottled b'roiv? The din of tam ki yikir, that if it's nice and tam, it's not bottled. That's only a din by macholas asuras. Because when you eat it, it's macholas asuras. And when you eat it, you're going to taste the flavor of the treifas. So then you say tam ki yikir. But if you're talking about tchum shabbos, you can't, tchum shabbos, tchum yantif, you can't ask a question that it should be tam ki yikir. She took vanilla flavoring for one neighbor and cinnamon flavoring for another neighbor and sugar from a third neighbor. And each one gave a different flavoring. So that's not a kasha, tam ki yikir. But the Gemara asked the kasha, the Gemara asked the kasha that you should say all of the flavors should be bolt berav. None of the flavors are more than 50%. The flour is the main thing. So the Gemara finally gives an answer, mamayin aloy bottle. And the Gemara gives that mashal. If a person has five nickels in his hand, and then accidentally another person drops a nickel in his hand, he can't identify which of the five nickels belong to me, which is the one that fell in, belongs to you. So that's a klal. Mamayin is not bottle. That's why we have a din, let's say truma falls into chulin. Let's say lach balach, I have wine that's truma, and I have a barrel of wine that's chulin. A little bit of truma falls in, and it's bottled. So the din is, there's a chumer midirabana. In order for truma to be bottled, you have to have echor ameya. You have to have 100 units of chulin against the one unit of truma. It should have been chad betray. It should have been, if there's slightly more heter than iser, you should have said that it's bottled. Let's say you have 50 gallons of chulin and 1 gallon of truma. So it should be bottled b'chamishim. It should be bottled b'raif. If you just have let's say you have 50 gallons of chulin and 45 gallons of truma. That's also called berayv. The heter is slightly more than the yisr. That's good. You don't need kefil. You don't need twice as much. But that's a chumra midirabonim. That even on minatar, the truma is bottle berayv, chad betray. If you have slightly more heter, then you have yisr midirabonim, you need meyo. By mina, by truma, you need echor meyo. So the Gemara says, even after the truma will be bottled by echor meyo, and a non-Kohen is permitted to eat it, and a Kohen Tomei is permitted to eat it also, because there's neither a problem. The truma is batel b'meyah. So there's no problem of a Zar eating the truma, there's no problem of a Kohen Tomei eating the truma. But the Gemara says that mamayna le batel, truma not only is osa lezarim, it's osa b'achila, but it's mamana shevet, it belongs to the Kohanim. So the one unit, or let's say the 45 units of truma that fell into the 50 units of chulin, 45 units of truma, the isa truma is batel b'raiv. You had meyah against it. Let's say you had meyah heter against the one unit of isa. So the isa truma is batel b'raiv, but the mamon is not batel b'raiv. So even though the azar is permitted to eat the whole taruvas because the truma is batel b'meyah, Or a kohen tomei is permitted to eat, he's not in violation of eating truma, the yisr tuma, but there's a problem of mamayna lebotel. So she really make out a check for the value of all of the truma that fell in, and he should give the check to some kohen or another, because mamayna is not botel. So the Tanoim didn't trust the people, because there are a lot of people who are careful, very careful about ben orma, and they won't be careful about ben orma chaveru. So if you're going to tell him that your truma is batel b'meyah, no problems, you can eat it, betumah, you can eat it even though you're a czar, but you have to make out a check So they'll eat it, and they'll forget about making out the check. Make out the check, that's been al machaveira. So a lot of people, the Gemara has, migad choshed on ma'amayna, lo choshed ha-shavuah, the Gemara has. A person is choshed on ma'amayna, that's been al machaveira, but it's not going to be choshed ha-shavuah, so not going to swear ha-shavuah sheket. That's been al ma'amayna. People, unfortunately, there are such people. Some people are more makbid about bin al machaveira than about bin al ma'amayna. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Orthodox Jews that consider themselves Orthodox. They're mizalzana bin al machaveira, but they're not mizalzana bin al ma'amayna. So the Chachamim said over here, when the truma is bottled b'meya, echer b'meya, you have 100 units of chula, and it gets the 1 unit of truma is bottled, you're still not allowed to eat it if you're not a kohen, or if you're tomei, you're not allowed to eat it. You have to be mafresh m'neya bay. We treat it as it's meduma. Meduma means a taruvus of chulin in truma. The truma fell into the chulin. And despite the fact that it should have been bottled already, bottled the echer b'meya, so the Rabbanim say it's not bottled until you... We're not going to be rely on you to make out a check, to give that amount of money to the Kohanim. Because that's been Oz Machaber, people may be Mizalza. So we tell the people, you're not allowed to eat the whole Tarubis. The Tarubis is not bottled until Tzarech Laharim. You have to be Mafish, Menei, Bey, that amount of Chuma that fell in. So we treat it as if it's Tevel, a Tarubis. We treat it as if it's still a Tarubis of Chuma, until you be Mafish, Menei, Bey. So... So the Gemara says there in the end of Masechus Beitza on that Mishnah, the woman baked the cake and she used different ingredients from different people. So the Gemara says, let all the ingredients be bottled b'roi. You should only worry about the tchum of the flour. The flour is the roif. Let all ingredients be bottled. All the ingredients on this and tam, but tam kikah only applies when you're talking about isuri achila. Here we're talking about isuri tchumen, not to take something chutz l'chus. Tam kikah has no application at all. So the Gemara answers, "Mamayna lay bottle." Since the mamayna is not bottle, and at the beginning of Yontif, everything was kind of shvisa. The woman who owned the cinnamon was kind of shvisa in her tchum. The woman who owns the sugar, the woman who owns the vanilla flavor, each woman who gave one of the flavorings for the cake. So each flavoring has its own tchum because it belongs to a different person. So that's the halacha. Whatever is totally any din isra'eta. It depends on mammon. Mammon is not bottle. So that's the pashta seems to be over here. There's such a thesis in the end of Me'ilu, also like that, but hegdish diga money got mixed up with chulin diga money. So it says that it's not bottle. So it says, let it be bottled bereiv. There's more chulin than there is hegdish. So that's what the Mepharshim say. Apparently, mammon is like bottle, like the Gemara said in the end of Beitza. So that's what it says over here. Bikshul Omer Abai corrects this statement. Not Biksha Lignas, they wanted to ask for all money in the whole wide world. No. The money in the Beis HaMikdash was Israeli money, or Roman money. It wasn't Canadian money, it wasn't American money. They didn't ask for all the money in the world. They wanted to ask for all these kind of coins. Biksha Lignas, Dinarim with a Hadriyana, Tariyana, Shayafa. This is Machlokes, it's Rashi and Tosafot, what these words mean. Rashi says Hadrian was one of the emperors. And Tariana was also one of the emperors. These are all names of coins. That's a different shot. Whatever, they want to cast all those coins that Kayetze Behem were in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's a Tarubis. They didn't want to ask for all American money. There's no Tarubis of Hegdish to come in American money. So the Gemara says there was a problem. Right after the Churban by Sheini, the Peritzim stole all the money. That's a Shaila, the Balamor, and the Raman. Who were the priests? So the Balamor says Jewish priests and priests of Israel. Because just like when you mull the Hegdish Peshegeg, the Hegdish says, Nefesh Kisim Amal, Emil Ashina Vishus. Hegdish is Yotzeh L'chulin, because you're Mechuyiv to give Kerem Mechemish. Usually the Hegdish is Yotzeh L'chulin when you give the money to the Gizbar. Menosna Kesev Kamlo, that's the Pasuk that they reconstructed. So here, the chiyuv to give the Kerem Chaimish should act as the pidyon, and whatever hegdish lends itself to pidyon should be yotzel chulin al yidei me'ila. That's how the Gemara says. And shemotzel mikram and atorah shehumutu shem bova pritzim chilalu. It was yotzel chulin because they were moiled by hegdish. It's a very difficult balamor because the Gemara says beferish in kiddushin, second parak in kiddushin, hegdish is only yotzel chulin. not the Mezid. So here was, it's a pre to Yisrael. So it's the Mezid. So what are you saying that it's Yotze L'chulin? How can it be Yotze L'chulin? So the Ramban learns that it goes on pre to Yakum. It's Exeris HaKosel. When the Nochrim come and they steal from the Beis HaMikdash, they take away things from the Beis HaMikdash, the din is that it's Yotze L'chulin. That's how the Gemara says, in the days of the Chashmonaim, when they were victorious against the Misyavnim and the Yevonim, who had taken over the Baisheni and used it for Avodah Zarah purposes, so they had to put away the old Mizbeach. They had different chambers in the Azorah, in the Baisheni, different Lishkas. So there's one Lishka where they had, like a museum, they had Avdim Mizbeach Sheshiktsu Ansayovim. They had the old Mizbeach that was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. Shikas HaMishemim in Tanakh refers to Avodah Zarah. So Sheshiktsu Ansayovim, the Yevonim or the Misyavnim, whoever it was, had used the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes. Used it for Avodah Zarah, became puzzle. So they had to make a new Mizbeach. Now that we know they made a new Menorah, that's the whole story of Hanukkah, they made a new Menorah, but they made a new Mizbeach also. So the Gemara asks, why do they have to make a new Mizbeach? Someone comes into my house, he's going to start deifying all the furniture, he's going to bow down to the furniture. If someone comes into my house and he pours in chazer schmaltz into the soup, or he pours in milk into the flesh, that does need kavana, even if it falls in by itself, it becomes straight. You can't say, but to deify my furniture, that depends on Kavanah Sagavra. So your Kavanah can't be mitzvah to my property. You can't bow down to my automobile and make it also Ba'anot. And in most of Dovah Shehenu Shaloi, Taisa says, when you need Kavanah Sagavra, if you're not the Bailam, the same thing, let's say, I'm visiting by you on Shabbos, you give me a separate room. On Erev Shabbos, I take my wallet and I put it, you have a silver tray in the room. I leave my wallet on top of the tray and I plan to leave it there till after Havdalah. And then all of a sudden, middle of Shabbos, you need that silver tray. So you say you'd like to go into the bedroom that I'm using because you want to use the tray. But I just made it a basis of davar ha'asur because I put my wallet on top of the silver tray. So they says no. The din is that a basis of davar ha'asur, the silver tray only becomes muktzeh if it was meniach, not shocheach, if you put it there on purpose. I can't ask you a property. I can have kavanah from today till next year. Whenever you need kavanah sagavra, my kavanah, I have kavanah to leave my wallet there for the whole Shabbos, for the duration of the whole Shabbos. It doesn't make the silver tray into a buses because I don't want to dove shayna shalom. If I would be mixing in milk into your flesh, I'm pouring in chazer schmaltz into your soup, so it becomes also without kavanah sagav. It has nothing to do with ayin al-masad dove shayna shalom. But to designate something as avodah zarah, they use them as the Yevonim and the Misyavnim use the Avdim Mizbeach for avodah zarah purposes. So it became possible. The Gemara says, "Eilan Amosad Davish Enishalot." Who are they? The Balabatim, the designated as a Mizbeach for avodah zarah purposes. So the Gemara answers, "This pasuk, the pasuk says, 'The bow, but priests in the chilulu.' When the priests came in and they used the Mizbeach for avodah zarah purposes, it was Yotze. The Mizbeach was Yotze lechulin." And they were koine it, and once the Mizbech was Yotzil Chon, they were koine it, then they used it for Avodah Zarah a second time, then it's Adamai, so Dovash Yerushalayim, it already belonged to them. The Boba Pritzim Mechilalu. So the Ramban claims that this pasuk in Yecheskel, the Boba Pritzim Mechilalu, goes on Pritzay Akum. When the Goyim come and they take the things from the Beis HaMikdash and they use it for Chulin digger purposes, that Motzi it for Chulin. But if the Jews do it, it's only if the Jews are well behegdish b'shegeg. Then you have the pasuk nefesh kisim amal bechot the bishgag mekat shehashem, and the Mishnah says zayin mila l'shini meshus shenem amal amal b'shem. Only if you mal behegdish b'shegi, if you mal behegdish b'mezid, the hegdish is not yotze l'chol. And the Balamor claims that it's talking pritzi Yisrael. That's a famous machlokes. Yeah, the Ramban writes there is a machlokes in the Gemara whether the kedushas hamigdash was kitchalosi lovoi or lo kitchalosi lovoi. So the Rambam paskins that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he endowed the Mokam HaMikdash with Kedusha, and it was Kitchelos Elavai. The Kedusha never disappeared. The Kedusha was there from the days that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash Adayam Azeh, the Kedusha was never disappeared. Kedusha Sa'aretz was created, the Kedusha of all Eretz was created by Yeshua ben Nun when they conquered the land from the Lamed Aleph Melochim, so they did Kibush Bechilu. So it says in Tanakh, it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, that says in Sefer Yeshua. Then the Gemara has an oral tradition, the end of Erechim took an additional 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael le Shvatim, and then le Mishpachas, and then le Yechidim. So after 14 years, the first 14 years was Shevesh HaKab, Shevesh HaChilko, then Eretz Yisrael was, it was called Lecho V'yacho Maker Eschelko, everybody knew which is my chelik, which is your chelik. So that's when Eretz Yisrael got its Kedusha. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara, the first Shemitah was the 21st year after they crossed over the Yarden. Because the first 14 years, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet. Only had Kedusha after the first 14 years. Shevesh HaKavshu, Shevesh HaChilka. That was the Mekadosh. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush. And the Chalukah is the Gemar HaKibush. So Eretz Yisrael didn't get Kedusha till after 14 years. So the first Shemitah was year 21, and the first Yovel was year 64, not year 50. Because the first 14 years didn't count, and so on. So the Rambam writes that Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was Paka, that's how we paskin, because the whole Kedusha rested on the Kibush, and the Kibush was undone when the Babylonian armies took over, took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jewish people. So they undid the Kibush that was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun in the beginning of the history of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So the whole Kedusha Eretz rested on Kibush, and the Kibush was undone when the Babylonian armies took over Eretz Yisrael. So the Kedusha Zoras was Batla. Then in the beginning of the Baisheni period, Ezra Nehemiah were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time. It wasn't through Kibush. There was no independent Jewish government for several centuries till the days of the Hashmonai. So how did it have Kedusha the first 200-300 years? How did the Eretz Yisrael get the Kedusha the second time? So the Rambam makes up a word, Aydei Chazoke. It's unclear what that means. The Jews moved in, they gave it Kedusha. So the Rambam says the Kedusha Shniyah, since it didn't rest on Kibush, wasn't undone when the Kibush was done. And the Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael was based on the Kibush. Shevesh HaKavshu v'Shevesh HaChilku, the Chalukah of the Sa'aretz was the Gemara Kibush. So when the Babylonian armies took away the sovereignty of the Jewish people, they undid the Kibush, they undid the Kedusha. But the Kedusha Shniyah was never based in the first place on Kibush, because the Jewish people didn't have a Kibush of Eretz Yisrael till the Hashmonaim established an independent Jewish government. So that's why the Kedusha Shniyah was like Batla. So the Rambam said the same, it's the same reason why the Kedusha Hamikdash was never Batla. The Gemara often puts the two together, where the Kitchel Osilavoi is a question on Eretz Yisrael and on the Beis Hamikdash, but Tosfos and Megillah Daf Yud and other places, and the Rambam said, the Ravid, they say it's not necessarily totally that there's room to distinguish between the two. So that's what the Rambam says. The Kedusha Sa'aretz, the Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael, that was accomplished in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, after the Shevesh HaKavshu, the Shevesh HaChilku, the Kedusha Sa'aretz was undone. But the Kedusha HaMikdash was not undone, because the Kedusha HaMikdash was based on Hashkaras HaShchina. The Shechina lo betela, the Shechina was there, it didn't go away. That's how the Rambam writes. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid and the Ramban both hold fakir that the Kedusha HaMikdash, even though Eretz Yisrael today has Kedusha, but the Makam HaMikdash forfeited its Kedusha. Why? So the Ramban says the Kedusha HaMikdash was Batla because of Boba Pritzim, Mechilulu. The Roman armies came and they took over the Beis HaMikdash, they used it for secular purposes. So that's what the Pasuk says, the Boba Pritzim, the Pritze Akum, came into the Beis HaMikdash for Chilalu. They were Motzi and Amokam Mechulim. It's a Chiddush, what the Ramban says, a Chiddush to apply. Because the Boba Pritzim Mechilalu, the Gemara says, it goes on tangible items. It goes on the Kasper, the Zorba Shal Yerushalayim. There was money there in the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash to get money. So the money was Yotzeh Lechulim. The Mizbeach was Yotzeh Lechulim, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah Nen Beis. The Mizbeach Sheshik Tzuan Sheyovan, they used it for Avodah Zorah purposes. When the Pritzim, the Ramban says, when the Goyish Pritzim, Pritze Yaakov used it for Avodah Zorah purposes, it was Yotzeh Lechulim. Yotzeh Lechulim, then they owned it, so then they had the right, then they had the ability to designate it as a Mizbeach for Avodah Zorah. Then it became Osir. Didn't become Osir directly, because they couldn't answer it, because it didn't belong to them. So So at first they used it for Avodah Zarah purposes, so it was Yotzei L'chulin. Yotzei L'chulin, so then they're Koine. So then, after they're Koine, then they have the ability to designate it. The next time they use it for Avodah Zarah purposes, then they designated it as Shel Avodah Zarah. So the Ramban here is saying a big chiddush. Not only do you say bo b'pritz mechidlu on tangible objects, on the kish, on the money that was in the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash, or on the Avnei HaMizbeach, he says it on the latitude and longitude, on the mokum of the Beis Hamikdash. There's no tangible thing over there. It's a location on the globe. Even if you take away the sand there, that location is still... It's not that the sand has Kedusha, the latitude and longitude has Kedusha. So the Ramban holds that the Bova Pritz Mechilulu even applies to Kedusha Samakam. It's an abstract concept, latitude and longitude. It's not a tangible thing. The Ravid writes that the Kedusha Samigdash was Batla, and if a Tommy goes there today, he doesn't think there's an Issa Kores because there's no Kedusha. So the Ravid gives a different explanation why. It's same as the Ramban. It was before the Ramban. Same as Ramban, that it's Batla, but for a different reason. So the Ravid, in his comments on the Rambam, in Perek Vav, in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the Ravid gives a different explanation why. He says that when, we must have discussed it more than once, he says that when, on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Pasuk in Chumash is pretty unclear, but it's explicit, both in Yechezkel and in Tehillim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told b'nevuah that when the Jewish people will come into Eretz Yisrael and they'll build the Beis Hamikdash is asid leheicharev, and the Jewish people will go into Golos. So they knew this before they built it, but they knew this from the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. And the Chumash is not so clear, but it's beferish in Yechezkel and in Tehillim. It says beferish. The Chazal have like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, Atem b'chisim b'chir sholchinim, ani akfa lechem b'chir l'doris. The Jewish people were crying when the Meraglim came back and they gave the bad report, the terrible report about Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that was on Tisha B'Av. So he said, Atem b'chisim b'chir sholchinim, I'm already going to give you what to cry about. Ani akfa lechem b'chir l'doris. I'll see to it that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed on that day. So that's what the Rishonim say. Shlomo HaMelech knew when he built the first Beis HaMikdash that it was going to be destroyed. He already heard from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right after the Chet HaMeraglim, when the Jews will enter and so and build the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be Chorev. So Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKodesh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash that will be built after the 7 years of Golus Babel? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? Will that one also be destroyed? So he said the psukim in Shir Hashirim, Elpchay mehi nivna lehatiras kesef, mdelezi nasu ala lo achoret. So the Gemara says, Elpchay mehi mialu kachayme, for all the Jewish people will leave Bavel after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, and they'll all move to Eretz Yisrael. Yalu kachayme, everybody, all thousands and thousands of people together. So then, nivna lehatiras kesef. Then the second day, something will be like a metal structure. Ein harekav sholid bo, that it doesn't rot. Metal structures don't rot away. Second Beis HaMikdash will be everlasting Beis HaMikdash. But in Delisi, not Salah Le'ochoris, if it would be a very Shvacha Aliyah, which it was after the 7 years of Golus Babel, hardly anybody came back. A very small number of people, 40,000 Jews with a little change, not too much more than 40,000 people. And there were hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of Jewish people in Babel. So they were told, in Delisi, not so lalu achoris. Second Beis HaMikdash will be compared to a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow, and wooden structures right away. It rains and it snows, and the wood rots away. So the second Beis HaMikdash will rot away. So that's what the Ravid understood. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, she had in mind only to be mekadosh it as long as it will stand, because he knew in advance it was also lehecharif. And then, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they saw that hardly anybody came back from Golus Babel. So they knew, based on the psukim that Shlomo HaMelech said in Shir HaShirim, "Mdelsi nasal le'ochares." So the Rabbi writes, "Yadei ha'ya Ezra she'asid be'echar." He knew when he built the second Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be destroyed. But Shlomo HaMelech said, "Baruch Hakodesh, Mdelsi nasal le'ochares." Of the Shvacha Aliyah, at the end of the 7 years of Golas Babel, the second Beis HaMikdash will be doomed to destruction also. So the Ravid says, that's why there's no Kedusha in the Makam HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh, because Ezra was only Mekadosh it for the period of time that it'll be standing. He knew it was going to be Chorev, and it never Mekadosh it for long. So the Ravid and the Ramban both say, bottom line, Halacha L'maisa, the same thing, that the Kedusha HaMikdash is Batla. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, it was Batla. At the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, it was Batla. But the Ravid gave one reason, and the Ramban gave a totally different reason. The Ramban said the reason why it was Batla, because above a priest in Mechelu, the Goyim came, and they defiled the Makam HaMikdash. They used it for cool and bigger purposes. So that caused it to lose its Kedusha. And the Ravid wrote a totally different reason. Melech HaTfila, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew it's going to be Chorev. It was only Mekadosh et Lizman for those years that would be lasting. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he knew that was also Lehi Chorev. It was only Mekadosh et Lizman. And that Ravid is very questionable. Can you do such a thing? The Gemara in the Dorim, Tafyami, people are just finishing the Dorim now. So the Gemara in the Dorim says there's no such thing. Kedusha is not Paka Bichdi. If something has your Magdash a carbon only for 30 days, it should be a carbon oiler for 30 days. So if you makriv it in the middle of the 30 days, so it's a carbon oiler. What if you weren't makriv it? You magdish the carbon oiler for 30 days. After the 30 days, should become chulin again. The Gemara said, there is no such thing. Kedusha is not paka bichdi. Kedusha can disappear into thin air. Gemara said the same thing. A couple gets married. The chassan says, are it mekudeshesli. Gemara says that marriage is in a certain sense also like kedusha. There's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into the lives of the Chas and Kala when they get married. So the Gemara says you can't say Habrei Mekadesh Isli for a year on a trial period. And at the end of the year, the Kedusha should disappear and vanish into thin air. There's no such thing. Kedusha la paka bechdi. The Gemara says it by Kedusha by Korbonis. The Gemara says it by Kedusha by marriage. So the Pashta should be the same thing by the Mokam HaMikdash. The Ravid says not so. The Ravid says Shlomo HaMelech knew that Bais Rishon is going to be Chorev, so he only had a mind to be Mekadosh it, Kozman Dinyona. Ezra knew that Bais Sheni is going to be Chorev, only had a mind to be Mekadosh it, Kozman that will be lasting. So he had a mind, so what? But she still said, Kedusha al-Paka Berdi. It's a Mechudosh Dik Ravid. And the Ramah is also Mechudosh Dik, that you say, Bo, a priest Mechidelu, on a location, on a latitude and a longitude is not a tangible object. Anyway, this is the famous Gemara. This Gemara is an Avodah Zarah also. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues. This the on that line, the top line of Nunam base. This we already discussed. In the days of the Tanoim, there used to be two monetary systems that were running concurrently in Eretz Israel. They both had the same coins. You had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars, let's say. But let's say there's Canadian dollars and American dollars. And there's a exchange rate between one and the other. Years ago, used to be some periods of time the Canadian money was more valuable than American money. Sometimes American money was more valuable than Canadian money. So in the days of the Tanaim, they had nickels, dimes, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and so on. Kesef Tzuri, they had Kesef Medina. So the Kesef Tzuri, each coin was worth eight times as much as its counterpart in the other system. The penny in the Kesef Tzuri was worth eight pennies in Kesef Medina, and a quarter in Kesef Tzuri was worth eight quarters in the Kesef Medina. So whenever the Torah has a din that you have to pay a certain amount of money, Pidyon HaBen is five sloim. Machzah Shekel is a hefa shekel, a hefa seller. If a Shua Mu'ud kills an Ebek Nani, you pay Shloshim Shalevet. Someone is ma'anis a mafata girl, you pay naira b'suli, you have to pay hamishim shekel kesef, it's a knas. Someone's mochi shemer alishto, you have to pay a mea shekel kesef. It says, kol ke omer abyuda marav, abyuda was a tam of both a rab and shmuel. So he quotes sometimes rab, sometimes shmuel. Sometimes it says his own dinim, not quoting rab and shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of rab, kol kesef omer batar, whenever the Torah has a din of kesef, Machtes Hashekel again, Shloshim Shalevet, Hamishim Shalevet, Simifat, Neshim, Letzi Shemra, that the amounts of money is Kesef Tzuri money. However, Vishal Devein, but whenever the Mishnayis have a din, the Rabbanon, So if you do this, you have to pay so much. That, and it gives you an amount of money. That's kesem adil. That's not kesem tzur. That's what he says. Called kesem. The Gemara is going to correct it. About 10 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, the Gemara is going to say, the line begins with the words, Eli Yitma, Hachi Yitma. They're saying over the top line, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav, or Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Asi, whatever. Two Girsis here. Usually it's Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav. Usually. So here, about 10 lines from the bottom, it says, Ela Yitma, Hachi Yitma. No, we said it over wrong. It's corrected like this. Amar Yudah Amar Avask Kol Kesem Kotzav Amar Batorah Kesem Tzuri. Whenever the Torah tells you a specific amount, like Mashor Amud kills an Eved Kanani, so I have to pay Shloshim Shkolim. It tells you an amount, not Stam Kesem Amar Batorah money. It's talking about a specific amount. And Chamishim Shekel Avonis Mefata Meir Shekel Amotz Hashem. That's Kesem Kotzav or Machzah Shekel for the Korbanosibul purposes. Whenever the Torah gives a specific amount. But initially, on the top line on Amdeis, the Gemara thought incorrectly that the member of Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav was called Kesev Amar Torah. Whenever the Torah has a din where Kesev is mentioned, it's Kesev Tzuri. So the Gemara asks on the third line from the top, Uklolohu, that klal accurate, is it correct? Not true, it's not correct. Bahari Tainem, there's a din of Moedim Amiktas. When you have a din Torah, sometimes we say the person can only hold on to the money. Reuven and Shimon, I say you owe me money, you deny it. Right. So when do you have to swear a shvud deraisa? When are you nemun without swearing? So if you kai for hakol, then the Torah says you don't have to swear. Menator, you don't swear. The Rabbanim will introduce a shvud seses. In the days of the later Amoraim, the Amoraim Achrayim, they introduce a Shua Tessus. That's what we mentioned this week. Tessus has, in the beginning of the second parak in Kedusha, the Gemara says, Vahashto, as we're going to print, as we're writing the Talmud Bavli, and now in our generation that they introduced the Shua Tessus, and now the din changes. So it sounds like it was introduced in the days of the later Amoraim, in the generation of Hashto. Vahashto means now, in our generation, that they introduced Shua Tessus. There's such a similar Gemara in Tainus. We duchen every day, in Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day Shachris and Musaf. Why don't they duchen in Mincha also? So the Gemara, you don't duchen in Mayim because no Chazoros Hashatz. But in Mincha, there is Chazoros Hashatz. How come they don't duchen? The Gemara says, Yechashish v'shikris. You should really duchen whenever you say Chazoros Hashatz, Simshal. That's Bichas Kaim, you should duchen. So how come we don't duchen by Mincha? So the Gemara says it's already late in the afternoon. So maybe the people, maybe the Kohanim had some wine for lunch or for supper, and a Shasa Revius is not allowed to duchen. Preg the Gemara, what if it's a tiny sikur and everybody's fasting anyway? So maybe then you should duchen by Mincha. So the Gemara says it's a machlek hatanayim, and we pass and it's a light plug. Even though the reason why not to duchen doesn't apply on a tiny sibur, because the Kohanim are not going to have had a drink of wine because everybody's fasting. Nonetheless, it's a light plug. Since all year long, we don't allow duchening by mincha. So even on a tiny sibur, you also don't. Then the Gemara says, Vahashta, but bisman hazeh, the practice is as we're Bavli, as we're composing the common Bavli. Vahashta, the common practice is that you do duchen. You do duchen at mincha on the time of Sibur. Why is that? It's against the psak from the earlier generation. Gemara says, because our practice is that we daven mincha so late on the time of Sibur in the days of the Gemara. That was the practice. Today the practice is, even the people that daven mincha right before the Shkir on the time of Sibur, they always daven earlier. Everybody daven. Pum fakir from what it was in the days of the Gemara. In the days of the Gemara, they said like this, usually they would daven mincha earlier in the afternoon. But on the time of Sibur, the practice would be that they would daven mincha later. So the davening of mincha reminded one of Ne'ilah. In Ne'ilah, you only say on the time of Sibur. Ne'ilah is not a din in Yom Kippur. These are din whenever there is a time of Sibur, and you have to add an additional Shemana Esra. So Ne'ilah is a tefillah satayna. So you can't make a light plug. You can't say, you shouldn't duchen by Ne'ilah because he may make a mistake in Duchen but another day when the Kohanim will be Shikr. No, you don't daven Neil on another day. Neil is always on the Tanis Sipur. Mincha, you can make a loy plug. Shouldn't Duchen Mincha on the Tanis Sipur, because he made by mistake Duchen on another day, Mincha, and the Kohanim will have had a revius Yayin then. So that's why the Gemara's Lashon is there. But Hashta, now Bizman Hazeh, the practice is that they do Duchen by Mincha, so the Gemara has to justify it. It's against Psak HaMekubal in the earlier generations. The Gemara says, because we daven in Mincha so late in the afternoon, so it's similar to Ne'ila, and Ne'ila is a Tfilas HaKaina, so that's why there's no Lofa. So that's the Lashon Hashta. Hashta means that Bizman Hazeh, where things will change. So that's the Lashon Hagmar, beginning of the second parak in Kedushin. But Hashta that the Chachamim introduced, the Shuas Esses, when a Torah, if a person is Koifa Hakol, I say, you owe me $1,000, and you say, Lo Lavisi, or you say, Paraiti. So that's Koifa Hakol. So, when a Torah, you name on Balishua. And with the Rabbana, they require that the one is Koifa Hakol has to swear, a Shuas Esses. So what's the din? If a person is Koif HaKol, he doesn't pay anything. He doesn't pay and he doesn't swear. Koif HaKol. What's called Koif HaKol? I come to you and I have a din Torah. I claim that I lent you $1,000, you never paid it back. And you say, Lola Visi, you don't know who I am. You never saw me before. You know, you never borrowed a penny from me. Or you say, Paraiti, yes. You borrowed $1,000 and you paid it back of it. Then that's called Koif HaKol. Koif HaKol. So Koif HaKol men HaTorah's name on Belishvua, but the Rabbani Yilei, the Shua says, what if the fellow is might have been Mikzas? So then the Torah says, Ashirem Ki Huzeh. If he'll admit, I owe so much, Ki Huzeh V'Loizeh, I owe this and I don't owe that. So that's where the Chazal understood in the Pasuk that they're talking about a might have been Mikzas. So the Pasuk there says, Ki Itanesh Ariyah Kesuf HaKelim Lishmar. If I gave a Pikodin to the other person, Kesuf HaKelim. And then he's made of the mitzvahs and kaya for the mitzvahs, then he has to swear a shvuas esses. What is the minimum value that the kesef kelim has to be worth, that there should be a shvuas made of the mitzvahs? So that's a mishnah, shvuas adayonim, shvuas made of the mitzvahs. You have to have hataina shtei kesef. I have to claim, this is the way we pass on halacha, two mo'o kesef. A mo'o kesef is 32 prutas. Two more kesef is 64 prutas. There's one more kesef times two. One more kesef is 32 prutas. So 64 prutas. So I have to claim that you owe me a minimum of 65 prutas. And your koifer is 64 of them. You say, you're moida the pruta. If you're moida less than the pruta, that doesn't count. Has to be a minimum of a haidoas balbin, that moida the mitzvahs, has to at least be moida that he owes a pruta. And it has to be kaifer. We're fighting about 64 prutas. So then that's a din of shvur deraisa. That's shtei mor kesef. Shtei kesef. That's the mishnah. Shvur hadayonim hataina shtei kesef. The taina has to be a little more than that. Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel and the Gemara. So we paskin the taina, the taveh, has to ask for a minimum of 65 prutas. And the other fellow is moida in one pruta. He admits that he owes me one pruta. And it's kaifer the 64 prutas. That's how we pass it. There's another opinion more that was rejected, that the sach hakol of the whole taina has to be not 65 prutas, 64 prutas. And from the 64 prutas that I'm taveya, so you have to be moida at least a pruta, and kaifer at least a pruta. So that's how I say you owe me 64 prutas. You deny 63, and you admit one pruta. So you're only going to swear on 63 prutas. So that's one opinion. That's enough to make a shvur deraisa. If the taina of the taveya was 64 prutas, that's a ginufuk. We don't pass like that. The psak and Shulchan Aruch is have to be taveya. You shtei mor kesef is 64 prutas plus another pruta. Have to be taveya minimum of 65 prutas. And then you have to be moida at least one pruta. Haidua less than a pruta doesn't count. That's a mission in the end of Hazov. It says chomish pruta sen. There are five dinim that depend on a pruta. So the mikadosh anisha, you have to give a minimum of a pruta to be koine karka. have to give a minimum of a pruta to be paid a ma'aser sheni, to be paid a hegdush, to be moil the hegdush, to be mechuyev an hashavas aveda. The Mishnah lists off more than five things. Mishnah says chamish putas, the five dinim that depend on a pruta, the more than five. Okay, that's an issue. Why does it say five? Chamish putas, it's like 10 things. So that's where we pass. Yeah, the tevia has to be a minimum of 65 putas, and then he's denying that he owes 64, and he's swearing on that. And the one puta is the haidah is badin. He's made of a mitzvah. He has to be made at least in a puta. So that's when you have a shavuos made of a mitzvah. To have a shavuos said echad, let's say, I say you owe me a nickel and you deny it. You're kofer hakol. And I have an eid echad that says that I lent you a nickel and you never gave it back. So that all you need is a pruta. All you need is a pruta to have a chiyuv shavuos eid echad. But in order to have shavuos made of a mitzvah, you have to have a taina, a minimum of 65 prutas. And he's made on one pruta and kofer on the 64 prutas. So the Gemara is asking, where did all these numbers come from? The 64 prutas with the one pruta. If you say kol kesev amamatar kesev tzuri, but where do you get the numbers from? So the Gemara has a whole yafusa. How do you learn that out from the psukim? So the Gemara says kesev o kelim. Kesef or kelim. So the word kelim is plural, shnayim. So two kesef is shnayim. The kesef is double. Double what? Two prutas or two dinarim or two ma'ah? So Gemara gives a whole explanation why it's shtei ma'ah kesef. Two ma'ah. Each ma'ah is 32 prutas. So shtei ma'ah kesef is 64 prutas. So the Gemara has the whole yafusa. The Gemara says, why did the Chumash single out kesef or kelim? Why were kelim singled out? Just say the value has to be, has to have the value of 65 prutas. So it should just say kesef? Kesef, the Gemara says, no. Yotze kelim lamashahen. That if I say that I sold you two cups, and each cup was worth a nickel, and you didn't pay me for anything, and I'm asking for, let's say, three cups, and you're made of a mixer, some perfect mixer, you made one cup, you admit buying, and you didn't give me the nickel, you're going to have to give it to me. The other two cups, you say, you did pay for. Something like that. You did pay for. So the Gemara says, even though the sum total of the claim is not 65 prutas, it's only three nickels. The whole story is only three nickels, not 65 prutas. That's when the Gemara says, Rashi and Tosfos quote it, Yotze kelim lamashehen. The Chumash writes kesef for kelim to teach you that kelim doesn't have to have that minimum amount of 60, worth 64 prutas. Yotze kelim lamashehen. You don't need that it should be worth 65 prutas. So do you need that it should be worth a pruta? Let's say the moedah b'mitzas and the kaifah b'mitzas. You say yotze kelim lamashehen kelim have a special status that it doesn't need 65 prutas, but they still need to swear on a pruta. He's denying that he owes him a pruta, and he's admitting that he owes him a pruta. You have to be by the mitzvah, the kaifa be mitzvahs. But you say, Yotzgel Mashahim, not only did the kelim, let's say they have, you can buy five needles for a penny, a certain item is five straws for a penny, a certain gumdrop, something like that. You can buy five pairs for a penny. So maybe the din is that if it's a gumdrop, it's a meichel. But let's say it's a needle. And if they sell five for a penny, and each needle is only worth a fifth of a penny, is that included in the din? Yotze kelim al mashahen. Kelim don't need 65 prutas, but they need at least the taina should be, the kfira should be a pruta, and the haidor should be a pruta. You say you don't even need a shor pruta. The Torah is mechadesh that kelim. Usually, how do you assess the value of any given thing? How do you assess how much it's worth? We always assess Shabbos, kama hu shava limka bashuk. If you want to sell it in the market, what's the going rate? So that's the chiddush by kelim. Yotze kelim lamashahim, since a kli has a hishtamshus, let's say my trousers tore, and I need a needle with thread in order to sew the trousers together. So if I have that needle, that's worth to me. The needle sometimes helps me a plea. I'm thirsty, I have to drink. I can't drink the water in my hand. I have to drink a lot of water. So I have to hold it in a kli. Even if the kli is a paper cup that you get five paper cups for a penny, it's a pachis mishavei pruta. Maybe that's included in yotzikeim lamashehem. That's a big machlekes rishonim there in Shavuos. When the Gemara says yotzikeim lamashehem, mashehem means you don't need 65 prut. You don't need shtei mor kesef, but you do need a taina that is denying a taina of a pruta and a haido of a pruta. Or do you say you don't even need a pruta? Because since kelim have a different way of judging their shavius. You don't judge it by kama hu shava limka bashuk. You judge it how much can be accomplished with this needle. So even though the needle is a fifth of a penny, you get five for a penny. But still you can say that the needle is shava kol kesef shabaylam, because my trousers are torn and I use the needle to stitch them up. It's worth a fortune of money. And now I can walk out in the street. I don't have to be embarrassed. So that's a big machlokes harishonim. The big machlokes harishonim. But that was the Gemara raised that question. How did you come up with the number of shtei mor kesef? It should be kol kesef amatar kesef tzuri. All right, should be some amount in kesef tzuri. Where did you come up with such an odd number of 65 prutas? So the Gemara works out from the psukim kesef okelim. Yeah, Taisa points out the two different verses here, exactly how they came up with this conclusion. But that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara asks, Freg the Gemara, Hari Maisa Sheni, there's a din. Maisa Sheni is about the 8-9 lines from the top. Hari Maisa Sheni, in the Chumash there's an institution, whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael is tevel. You have to be mafresh chumas and maisa. So first you mafresh chumas gedoyla, then there's a seder for the hafrasha. First you have to be mafresh chumas gedoyla. The recommended amount is 2%, 1 out of 50. Echad mechamishim is normal. Mida beninus. And if you really want to be stingy, so you should give at least echad mishishim. And if you want to be generous, don't give 25%. If you want to be generous, you give echad mechamishim instead of you give echad me'arboim. But average mida beninus is echad mechamishim. And if he wants to be cheaper, better, it's echad mishishim. He wants to be very generous, it should be Echad Me'arboim. That's how the Mishnah is have. So the Pasuk, what do you do? So the first year, the Shemitah cycle is every 7 years. So the first 2 years you mafresh first Truma Gedolah, 2% Truma Gedolah, then you mafresh 10% for Maisa Rishon, and then 10% of what's left, you mafresh for Maisa Sheni. The third year, instead of this Shemitah cycle, the third year, instead of being Mafish Maisa Sheni, you give that Maisa Sheni to the Aniyim. It's called Maisa Ani. Maisa Sheni has to be eaten Mikdusha V'Tahara in Yerushalayim. Maisa Ani, the Aniyim can eat it anywhere. It doesn't have to be eaten Mikdusha V'Tahara. It doesn't have to be eaten even in Eretz Yisrael. You want to Mekhuyev on what grows in Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have to eat the Maisa Ani in Eretz Yisrael. And then the next 3 years, the fourth and the fifth years, are repeat of the first and the second years. And the sixth year is a repeat of the third year. So if it's a Maisa Sheni year, 4 out of the 7 years of the Shemitah cycle are Maisa Sheni years. Years 1 and 2, and 4 and 5. Years 3 and 6 is a Maisa Ani instead of Maisa Sheni. Shemitah year, everything is efficacy, not Mechuyev to be Mafresh, Shumas and Maisa San anything. So the Gemara Frek Takashi, if you're telling me that Kol Kesef Hama Matar is Kesef Tzuri, but there are Mishnahs that talk about being paid in Maisa Sheni on a pruta. And a pruta is a coin of nechoshes, of copper. And kesef tzuri is all silver coins. There is no copper coins in the kesef tzuri system. So that's what the Gemara asks for. Harei, Maisa means Maisa Sheni. Bechsev, the Torah has an institution of pidyon Maisa Sheni. If you live very far away from Eretz, it's going to be prohibitive. It's going to be so expensive that you're going to have to transport all the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. It'll cost you a fortune for the moving of the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. So the Torah gives you a break. You can be paid in the Maisa Sheni, take the money to Yerushalayim, and then take the money, and then you eat the food in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asked, but the Gemara asks, but the Mishnah says you can be paid in Maisa Sheni on a pruta. A pruta is a copper coin that doesn't exist in the Kesef Tzuri system. The Kesef Tzuri system, there are only silver coins. There are no copper coins. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Harei ma'isa dechsivet sarta kesu biyadecha usnan, and the Mishnah has a whole discussion. The people in the city, everybody was paid the ma'isa shek, and then they gave all of the money for ma'isa sheni to someone who's going to Yerushalayim. It was not everybody traveled to Yerushalayim. It was an expensive trip. So if you're going to be bogged down, you're going to have a sack of 1,000 prutas of ma'isa sheni. He's going to have to slap all that. So he wants to convert. The Mishnah talks about he wants to convert the ma'isa sheni prutas. He'll have 100, have 1,000 ma'isa sheni prutas. He wants to convert them into fewer. Instead of having 1,000 copper coins, he wants to have 10 silver coins. So that's a machlekes b'shana misilo. What's the proper way to do? Should you allow the person to convert all of his copper coins, all of the prutas are copper coins, into silver coins? So the Torah HaDerech, schlepping it on a high wall would be much easier. Instead of schlepping 1,000 copper coins, you carry 10 silver coins. Silver is worth so much more than copper. But he's saying, no, he should only switch part of it. Maybe half of the copper coins he should switch to silver coins, and half of the copper coins he should leave copper coins. When it comes to Yerushalayim, I have some copper coins. You can't buy a soda. You can't buy a little snack for they're not going to take a $100 bill to buy a bottle of soda. So you have to have smaller coins. So that's a machlekes b'shama misilo. Are you permitted to convert all of the matveyas, all the putush on the choshes, into silver coins? But you say you can only convert 50% of them into silver coins. The others you should leave as copper coins. So the Gemara asks, but how can you be paid a ma'aser sheni in the first place? Ana matveya shel nechoshes. If it's kesef tzuri, kol kesef amatar kesef tzuri. So kesef tzuri doesn't have any prutas. So how can you can be paid a ma'aser sheni? And for the Gemara, kesef kesef riba. The word kesef appears more than once in the parsha of Pidyon ma'aser sheni. So it's marbe any kind of coin, whatever the coin happens to be, even if it's a copper coin and it doesn't exist at all in the system of Kesef Tzuri system. Kesef Tzuri system only has silver coin, doesn't have copper coin. Then the Gemara asks, right there, Akasha, right, Hegdish, that really, that's what the Baal Le'atais has pointed out in a different Masech. But no, it's not a case like that. So the Gemara says, by Pidyon Hegdish, it also says the word Kesef. And the Kesef Tzuri system, there are no Prutas Shanachoshes. And nonetheless, the Shmuel learns off him, that is, I sell you, I lose the automobile, and I charge you $100,000. That's outrageous. $100,000, way more than the thing is worth. Or I charge whatever, I'm selling a bottle of soda for $25. It costs $1, for a dollar and a half. What do you mean, what are you charging $100,000? So that's a din of Aynur. So we learn that from a pasuk, Kim Karish, Chisim Kamim Flam Misech HaKonami, Anam Misech HaTonu Ish HaSochim. You're not allowed to do oino. You're not allowed to charge. The moicher is not allowed to overcharge the lekech, and the lekech is not allowed to fool the moicher into selling the item to him for less than it's worth. That's both are common practices in the world. What happens a lot of times, the Talmud Chacham dies, and he has thousands of svarim, and his children have no interest in using these svarim. So sometimes they'll donate it to a library, fine. And sometimes a Moichah Svarim will come to me, Menachem Avil, and he says, oh, I'll give you $100, $150 for all the Svarim. It's way off. The true value is hundreds of thousands of dollars. He has a few thousand Svarim. They're extremely valuable. So Moichah Svarim will fool him into believing that he's giving him a bargain, he's giving him $500, and it's worth $500,000, worth much more. So that's a din of Aynur. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, "Chisim kermim kala misecha kara miyara misecha." One amisecha tells you patla hegdish, and one amisecha tells you patla akum. That there's no din of Aynur, not by hegdish and not by akum. What it means is no din of Aynur by akum. You're allowed to cheat the akum. So the Gemara's loshen is no. The Gemara says, "La misecha atamachzer einor di atamachzer einor la'akum." There's a penalty by einor. The pasuk is excludes einor, doesn't apply to karka. Ein einor le karkois. The din of einor. What do you mean? There's no din of einor by karka. I can charge you 100 times. I can fool you into believing that the karka is worth more. But the pasuk gives the example of einor by karka. It says, when you sell karka in Eretz Yisrael, you should fix the price, keeping in mind how many years you have till Yovel, because when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you're going to get the karka back. Because it's a stay achuzah, you're going to get it back. If it was only a stay mitna, then when it comes Yovel, it's not going to go back to you. It'll go back to the original owner. But if it's a stay achuzah by you, and you sell it, and you just made it into a stay mitna, so then when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you're going to get it back. The lekech is going to have to give it back. So the pasuk says you should calculate how many years are left till Yovel, and that's how you should fix the price for buying the karka, because you're not going to have the karka for so long. So how can the Gemara learn how to din ein anor le karkois? The Chumash gives the example of anor by karka. Calculate how much the value of the field is going to be, because when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it's going to go back to the original owner. So the Ramban HaChumash said, that's how the Tanoim knew that there's a penalty of Einor. The Issur Einor applies to Karka. Same thing, Hegdish. You learn that Kisimim Kremit La Misecha Prat LaHegdish. It's Mutal HaTchilet to cheat Hegdish. It's not Mutal to cheat Hegdish. The din is that there's a penalty by Einor. There's a lav of Einor. The lav applies even to Akum, and it applies to Hegdish. But the penalty doesn't apply. So if you sold something to the Akam and you cheated him and he already paid you the money, so then the din of Hachzaras Einor, that penalty doesn't apply by Akam. But the Issur Einor does apply, the same thing by Hegdish. Issur Einor does apply to Hegdish. If the Gizbar by mistake is prepared to auction off to the highest bidder, someone was Magdish whatever, an automobile, the Gizbar is auctioning off to the highest bidder and he takes a bid that's not at all. It doesn't, the person bid way less than the Hegdish is worth. So that's not right. You're not allowed to cheat Hegdish. Shmuel says it in the end that Hegdish of the money, Hegdish is worth $100,000. If he gave a pruta for it, but the end is mechulo. But the end it's good. Because ain't a noah le Hegdishes. Doesn't mean it's muta lechatchila to cheat Hegdish. That's like, it doesn't mean by the Akum that it's muta lechatchila to cheat the Akum. It's a din of hachzaras einor. There are two din of einor. There's an iser and there's a penalty. So the penalty was excluded by karka avodim and shtoris and hegdashis. You don't have the penalty, but the iser einor you do have. So the Gemara asked this question: how can you be paid the hegdash on a shavu pruto? A pruto is a copper coin. There is no copper coin in the kesed tzuri system. Only silver coins. So maybe you can't be paid the Hegdish on a pruta. Maybe the minimum amount to be paid the Hegdish is a silver coin from the Kesef Tzuri system. And with the Gemara, Hegdish also, Yalav Kodesh, Kodesh mi Maisa Shein. It's a Gzeru Shoveh. So just like by Maisa Shein, he said Kesef, Kesef, Ribo, since the word Kesef appears several times in the Pasuk, so even coins that don't exist in the Kesef Tzuri system. Even the copper coins, the matbeas, even the copper matbeas can also be used to be paid in Maisa Sheni. So Kesef Riba, so a copper matbeas is good to be paid the Hegdish also. Hegdish Hegdish is worth $100,000 and he only gives a Shavu'ot Pruta for it. So but the other, that would be good. There's no penalty of Einor, yeah. So that's what Gemara said. That's exactly Shabbat for Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni because Kesef, Kesef, Riba. Then Gemara said, Harei Kedusha Isha. How do you know that there's Kedusha Kesef? Dichsib, Yot Zachinim, and Kesef, that if the father sold the daughter as an Omer Hebriya, when she reaches the age of 12, when she becomes a Naira, then she's Yot Zachinim, Yot Zachinim, and Kesef. So the Gemara lines up in the word, and Kesef, Avol Yesh Kesef, Elad Nacher. When the father sells the daughter, as an Amayriya, has to sell her for a minimum of a Shavu'ot Pruta. A couple of Prutas, yeah. So there's, and that's how you learn out that there's such a thing as Kiddushei Kesef. That's a chayim and Kesef lad nizal, yesh Kesef lad nachem. When the father marries off his daughter, so the chasen has to give the father Kesef. How much kesef does he have to give? So that's machlekes bisham and bisilo. In the opening mishnah in kedushin usnan, in the opening mishnah bisham da beis amenal bisham yomim bedina b'shavu dim b'silo b'futa b'shavu futa. We pass like b'silo that the kesef kedushin or the shavu kesef has to be worth a minimum of the shavu futa. So the Gemara asks, but he just said all kesef amatar is kesef tzuri. Kesef tzuri system, there are no copper coins. How can you say kiddush de'isha can be accomplished with a shavu pruta, but the shavu pruta, pruta coin doesn't exist on the kesef tzuri system? So that was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says lema rabasi yomikad de'shamai. The smallest coin you have in a silver system, the kesef tzuri system is only silver coins. The smallest amount of a silver coin that you have in the kesef tzuri system is the dinar. So b'shamay, that's many prutas. A dinar is there are four dinarim in a sela, in a shekel, four dinarim in a shekel. So the Gemara asks, that's what Ravatzi said on the top line on the daf, that whenever the top kol kesef amar b'tor kesef tzuri, should I say lema? Should I say the Ravasi's position is based on Beis Shammai? That's the lema Ravasi damike Beis Shammai. That's why kedusha isha has to be a minimum of a dinar, because dinar is the smallest coin in the kesef tzuri system. So Ravasi's statement, kol amar yudam Ravasi's statement, kol kesef amar b'tor kesef tzuri, only fits in with Beis Shammai. That's the explanation why Beis Shammai insists the minimum amount of Kiddusha Isha has to be a dinner. So it comes out, Rav Asi is only Aliba de Beis Shammai, and we shouldn't accept Rav Asi. Gemara says, no, we said over Rav Asi incorrectly. Aliit machi itma. We didn't say it correctly. What he should have said like this, called Kesef Kotzuf Amabator, Kesef Tzuri, Shadavan Kesma Dinner. If the Torah gives you a fixed amount of money, that Chamishim Shekel Kesef Ayanis Mefata, that's kesef kotzev. The Torah gives you a fixed amount of money. 50 shekel, 5 shekel. They give you an amount of money. That's kesef tzuri. But we Rav Asi never said about kol kesef hamar matar. He only said on kesef kotzev hamar matar. So, Frank the Gemara. So, what's the chiddush of Rav Asi? What Rav Asi discovered in America over here? That's what it says in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says, "Chomish shalom shal ben, the pidyon ben is kesef tzuri." So, what do you need Rav Asi for? That's what it says in the Mishnah. Everything more, you're right. The first half of Rav Asi's statement, "Kol kesef kotzev amamat Torah, kesef tzuri." That's what it says in the Mishnah. But the chiddush is the second half of what he said. That's the chiddush. What does that mean? This not. There's a Mishnah Bava Kama. There's a din. You have to pay. If you harm someone else, you have to pay nesek tzarit b'shavas boishes. So the Besna has to calculate each and every individual case. How much has to pay from tzar? How much have to pay for a nesek? Sometimes the nesek is so insignificant. How do you calculate tzar? It's a complicated calculation. So the Tanaim say they fixed the fixed amount. They said, at the keel ha'averai, if I blew shofar in someone's ear or I screamed very loud into someone's ear, so they said, we're not going to make an assessment every time how much you have to pay for orabam ha'azik. We're going to say, no sin ha'sela, fartik. You pay one seller. That's all. That's what the Mishnah says. Should the Ram case of Medina that goes on such a case. So they said arbitrarily, you pay one salaf and it covers Nazik Sarit Mishavis Bashas. So that's what Amar Abyudam Rabasi, that's what he says, well a sala arbo azuzi. He didn't mean a sala tsuri. What he meant was a palga de zuza. He pays a half of a Eight times as much in the kesef tzuri as every parallel coin in the kesef medina system. So instead of paying four zuzim, So he paid for one seller and said Kesef Tzuri. His four zuzim. So he paid part of the zesa, part of the zuz. He paid half of a zuz. One eighth the amount in Kesef Tzuri is going to be Kesef Medina. Because in common spoken language, the Korean she seller, part of the zuz. A lot of people say, what's a seller? They say a half of a zuz, one eighth of a seller. Then the Gemara has this incident, Chanan Bisha, Chanan the Shlechta. Everybody used to call him Chanan the terrible person, Chanan the Rosh. Chanan Bisha, Chanan the Shlechta, Toka Lelahu Gavra. He made noise in his ear, and he knew that was going to be the psak of the Rabbanim. He has to pay, you have to go calculate each time, Kesef. Nezik Tzari Pisho is Bosh. So he said, someone bothers someone else by making noise in his ear, you pay one shekel. So Chanan Bisha Tokalei Lechahu Gavra. He made noise in his ear. Also, Kamer Derabuna Amalei said the Rabbi Gepaskasa Havlei Palga the Zuz to pay him Hachatzi Zuz. That's Kesef Medina, 1/8 Kesef Tzuri. So that's what the Rav also the Kamli the Ravuna Amalei Havlei Palga the Zuzah give him as Sela Medina, not Kesef Tzuri a full shekel, but Kesef Medina. So the fellow Chanan Bisha the Shlechta, he didn't have such good coins. So what's the Gemara's lotion? So the Dayan said Havlei Palga the Zuzah pay him Kesef Medina. Kesef Medina is a half a shekel. So how do you read the next Gemara? Havilei should say, Havilei Zuzah Macha Bahadei. So Chanan the Shlechta had a rubbed out coin, and he knew that the fellow wouldn't want to accept the coin. So he was a wise guy, so what did he do? He had a Zuzah Macha Bahadei. He had a rubbed out coin, the lanafik that wouldn't be accepted in the stores. They wouldn't accept it, even though it was legal tender. They wouldn't accept it because it was all rubbed out. So what the fellow Chanan Bisha was a wise guy. So he made tokalei pa'amachrina. He made another noise in the other year, and now he owed him the abinale. Then he paid him the full amount. He was a wise guy. So this is where the Tosfos has that discussion. Tosfos Anun Aleph Menal, the one that's a continuation of the bottom Tosfos Anun on the base. So the top Tosfos here in the Aleph Menal has this discussion. Kesef Shel Divreihem is Kesef Medina. Yeah, that's by the Hatekel HaChaver, Nosan Lo Sela. It's a Sela Medina, not a Sela Tzuri. Fine. But how much do you give her for ksuba? So it should depend whether ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa, machlokes hatanaim. Every 15th lot in ksubas, they bring up the issue again, whether the chiyuv to pay ksuba deraisa, the rabban. So Rav Harishchan paskin ksuba lav deraisa. The Ri Balatesis, the Ri Hazakin, the Balatesis, he paskin that ksuba is deraisa because that's the way it reads in the text of the Ashkenazi Ksubis. It says the chassan obligates himself to give the kala 200 zuz is 50 shkolim because there are 4 zuz in a shekel. So he says 200 zuz the chazi lichem b'deraisa, which you are entitled to min ha-ter. So the riyazokim balates is of the opinion that ksubis deraisa because that's what it says in our ksuba. Chazi lichem b'deraisa. All the other rishonim disagree. And they paskan the Shulchan Aruch, they paskan the ksuba lav deraisa. A couple of nafkaminis in the Gemara, where the ksuba deraisa lav deraisa. They paskan ksuba lav deraisa. What do you do with the pasuk? It says, kesef yishkol kemohar habesulas. It says, if someone's ba'anis and mefata, a naira besula, so now she won't be able to get a shidduch. She's a ba'ula now, so she won't be able to get a shidduch as a besula. And she won't be able to get a ksuba of chamishim shekel kesef, which is masayim zuz. So the Torah says, because this man was ma'anas or mafatahar, and he caused her to lose the opportunity of getting a ksuba of chamishim shekel, masayim zuz, so that's why he was mafsid her chamishim shekel kesef, so he has to pay her the chamishim shekel kesef. It's his fault that she won't be able to get a ksubas besula, so he has to pay her the chamishim shekel kesef. So the machlekes, so according to here for the Tanoim, according to the Miyazok and Balataisus, the ksuba today is the raisa. So it's kesef katsuf amamatera. The Torah says that onis mafata pe chamishim shekel kesef. That's how much used to be kemor habsulas, the ksuba in the days of Maimon HaSina. If you hold that most of the Rishonim disagree with the Riyazok, most of the Rishonim hold ksuba lav deraisa. Ksuba lav deraisa means the chiyuv to give ksuba is lav deraisa, but that was clearly the meaning of ma'amat and Torah. And the Torah says you have to pay chaymishim shekel kesef for oynus ha'mefata, parallel to what it would have been if she would have had a ksubas besula. So that's what Tosfos says, even if you hold that ksuba lav deraisa, but it was a minig in the days of Matan Torah. You're not mechuyif to, but it was a minig in the days of Matan Torah to give a ksuba. And how much did they give? They gave chamishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri, not kesef medina. That's what Tosfos says, lalacha. That's what you have to have for when you're paying the ksuba. When someone divorces his wife, or the husband died first, so the wife is entitled to collect the ksuba. So the ksuba, even if your ksuba lav deraisa, but it's based on the pasuk that has the amount in the chumash, chamishim shekel kesef, kesef, yeah, kesef yishkel kemor habesulas. That's chamishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri money. That's called lalocha and shulchan aruch. Simen samach vav. The Ramo quotes that in Eben Ezra. Yeah, that is the Gemara.
Rav Schechter, why is the penalty 50 shkalim and not the difference between what a basula gets and what a non-basula gets?
A non-basula, b'zman antar, got nothing. It's a takanas chachamim now that the non-basula gets 100 zuz. So the Ramoa Paskin, not like Tosfos, Ramoa Paskin. Tosfos is the top Tosfos here, that's the Hemshech from the bottom of Amud Beis, says, even Gesuba Salmona, Afilu, you see the fourth line from the top in the Tosfos, the last white line in the top. Afilu Gesuba Salmona, Shehila Kuli Amud Rabbana, is also Mona Tzuri, it's also Kesef Tzuri. So that we don't accept in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes in Simen Samavav, Sivav, Ramah quotes the Tosfos that by Ksubas Besula, it's Chamishim Shek of Kesef Tzuri. Because it's Kesef Katsuf Haman Batera. It's in the Chumash. The Chiyuv to pay Ksuba we pass Kanzonim with the Rabbanan, but it was a meaning with Mamat and Torah, and that was the amount that says in the Chumash, Chamishim Shek of Kesef and Kesef Tzuri. The ksuba salmona is in ganzen midrabban, so that we assume that's kesef medina. So we usually assume incorrectly that ksuba's besula is twice as much as ksuba salmona. Ksuba's besula is 200 zuz, ksuba salmona is 100 zuz. But truth of the matter, it's not twice as much. It's 16 times as much, because the ksuba's besula in kesef tzuri, 50 shkolim. And Ksuba Salmona is Kesef Medina, half of 50, 25 shkolim. So it's half times 1/8, because the Kesef Medina, each coin is 1/8 the value of Kesef Tzuri. According to the Tosfos here, not only is the Ksuba's Besula, you give 50 shkolim, 200 zuz, Kesef Tzuri, the Ksuba Salmona is also 100 zuz kesef medina, 100 zuz kesef tzuri. So that's why we don't pass like that. We passkin that the ksubas almana is kesef medina. So it's not one. It's not half the amount of the ksubas besula. It's 1/16 the amount. It's half the amount, but it's only 1/8 of the other one, because the ksubas beula is calculated based on the kesef medina system. and the Ksuvas Pesula is based on the Kesef Tzuri system. There's going to be not half the amount, it's going to be 1/16. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. I was just going to say in this week's Sedra, we have the dinim of Tfilin Shal Yad, Tfilin Shal Rosh. So the Gemara says that the Tfilin Shal Rosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than Tfilin Shal Yad. Tfilin have a higher level of Kedusha than Mezuzah, and Mezuzah only has two parshios, Shema Vayoyim Shamoya, and the Tfilin have valid parshios, Kadesh Vayal Kiryach, in addition. And the Shal Rosh has slightly more Divrei Torah than the Shal Yad. But the Shal Rosh has two shins on the outside. Shal Yad doesn't have anything on the outside, it just has the same parashas inside. So since the Shal Rosh has slightly more letters, has two more letters, two shins on the outside, so it has a higher level of Kedusha. The Rambam says, Torah Shebichsav has Kedusha depending on how many psukim are written. The Rambam writes that if a Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, not Tav Shin Pei Gimel, a human being writes Sefer Torah, it has more Kedusha than the author's copy of the Aseres Adibris, which HaKadosh Baruch himself engraved. HaKadosh Baruch engraved it. Why does the Sefer Torah written by the Sefer and Shnas Tavshin Pei Gimel have a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas Adibris? Because the Rambam says, because it has Aseres Adibris plus more, has more Psukim to it. So the Gemara says that the Shal Rosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha. So we have the Dalet Parshias, you have Kadesh Yakiv Yacha on one side, Shema Vayam Shemaya on the other side. So the side that has Kadesh Yakiv Yacha has a Shin with Dalet Rosh. And the side that has Shema Vayam Shemaya has the Shin with the Gimel Rosh. What is that supposed to represent? The Shin with the three heads or the Shin with the four heads? So the accepted, traditionally accepted opinion is that strictly speaking, when you write a Sefer Torah, you have to write a Shin. Bereishis, Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim. You have Shins all over the place. So you can, there are two legitimate ways to write a Shin. Either a Shin with Dalet Roshin or a Shin with Gimel Roshin. Either way is acceptable. So we just do, we write for varieties and spice of life. So you have two Shins on the Shal Rosh. One is a Shin with Dalet Roshin. One is a Shin with Gimel Roshin. And other Rishonim say no. On that side of the Bayis Shal Rosh, where you have Kadosh Shavayot Kiviyacho, that's from Koyde Matan Torah. Shema Vayam Shema is from after Matan Torah. So Koyde Matan Torah, you have to have the Shin Shakua, because it's the Luchas where it changed. Koyde Matan Torah, that's when they have the Luchas. After Matan Torah, that's when they have a Sefer Torah written. So when you have a Sefer Torah, so you have a Shin of Gimel Roshan. A Shin of Dalet Roshan, according to the other opinions, is a mistake. The Shin of Dalet Roshin, the two heads in the middle shouldn't be touching the bottom bar. So it's really a Shin Shakua. If you have a Shin with Dalet Roshin and the two heads in the middle are not touching the bottom bar, then you have a Shin Shakua engraved over here. So that's on the side when Kadesh Vayokev Yachah is Koyde Matan Torah. So that's the ksav of the shin on that side should be a ksav shakua, like choras al luchas, engraved in the luchas. On the other side, shema v'yam shema was after matan Torah. So then you have the ksav. So those of Rishonim hold, there's no such thing as a shin of Dalet Rosh. Shin of Dalet Rosh is really a shin shakua of Gimel Rosh, because the two middle Roshim shouldn't touch the bottom bar. So you have it's a shin shakua. So that's a big machlekes. What is the two shins supposed to represent? Are the two valid forms of writing a shin? Gimel Rosh and Dalet Rosh. And say, no, there's only one kind of shin with Gimel Rosh. But one is Ksav Shem Kodim Matan Torah. That's Chakika. Charis Al Aluchas engraved. And the shin of Gimel Rosh is a shin of Acha Matan Torah. That's how you write in a Sefer Torah. You don't engrave, you write. So you write with Gimel Rosh. Yeah. The Gemara says that this higher level of Kedusha Rosh Shal Rosh only sets in after you already wore the tefillin once. You just made the Bayis Shal Rosh with the two shins. It's Hazman Ala Milsi. Because basically Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are the same thing. The only difference is here it's one klaf and there it's four klafs, but it's the same parshias. So the Gemara says, Kozman, you just made the Shal Rosh and Shal Yad. It's Hazman Ala Milsi, they both have the same level of Kedusha. Once you already wore the shin, then it's no longer hasmana. Then it has the higher level of the shalrosh. Then the din is makarish v'lom. You're permitted to convert the shalyad into a shalrosh because shalrosh has a higher level of kedusha, but you're not permitted to convert a shalrosh into a shalyad because shalyad has a lower level of kedusha. That's a real din. Malamakodesh v'lom arid. Yeah, these are the parshas of Tefillin. Parshas boy, you have Kadesh v'yakir yach. Okay, Blinetta, next week we'll continue in the Gemara. Should all be healthy.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Shkayach.
Hey, according to the Shita, you just mentioned that the Shita holds that there's no shin with four Russian. So, I mean, why on the side of the tefillin don't we make it chakuka? Instead of, you know, like they hold, it should be a chakuka. It should be a shin chakuka, and then we wouldn't have a dollar rush.
The two middle,
yeah,
should not be touching the bottom. That's one shita. We don't pass them like that shita. We pass them that there are two legitimate ways of writing a shin in the Sefer Torah. When you write Bereishis, Baruch Hakim HaShemayim, you can write either shin of Gimel Rosh and Adalad Rosh. We don't hold like that. That's the other sheet in Rishan, that there's only a shin of Gimel Rosh, but the one is a shin Shakua and one is a shin Boilet. So the shin Shakua is from Kedah Matan Torah, and the shin Boilet is Lacha Matan Torah. That's for Ksav. Yeah. That's my place there.
So, can I ask a question about the, if you, Rav said before that everybody except for the, almost everybody holds that, that Ksuva is the Rabbana, so why do we use the language in the Ksuva of the Raisa?
Right? So, there's a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, a Sephardi Rebbe, Rabbi Elio Ben Chayim, so he'll always say, I'll give you a Ksuva that's correct without any mistake, free of charge, I'll give you a Ksuva that says, B'chazi Lichi. Doesn't say Chazi Lichi Mederaisa. But the Rosh explains why, and we accept that lahalacha. Chazelich mederaisa means keser tzuri. It doesn't mean she's entitled to the ksuba mederaisa. She's only entitled mederabonim. But the chazelichi mederaisa dika money. That's what it means. It's keser tzuri money as opposed to keser medina. That's how the Rosh explains the nusach in the Ashkenaz exodus. Chazelich mederaisa means it's Masayim Zuz of Keser Tzuri. It's based on the Pasuk. Keser Mishko Kamor HaBesulmas. Yeah. Very good. Okay. We'll continue next week.
Thank you, Yasha Koch.
Very good. No.